welcome to the program. We continue today in our series on what in the world is going on. We'll be in Revelation chapter 11 today. If you possibly can, have your Bible ready. In our previous program, we were looking at the two witnesses that we find here in Revelation chapter 11. Today in verse 5, we read, "And if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. These have power to shut heaven that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters to turn them to blood, and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will." Well, this is a very interesting portion of Scripture. We're going to look at it in a minute. But before we do, there's never been a time when we ought to be more concerned about living for Jesus, a life that is true, striving to please Him in all that I do.
Living for Jesus, a life that is true, striving to please Him in all that I do, yielding allegiance, glad-hearted and free. This is the pathway, a blessing for me. Oh, Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to Thee. For Thou in Thine atonement didst give Thyself for me. My heart shall be Thy throne. My life I give henceforth to live. O Christ, for Thee alone. Living for Jesus, who died in my place, bearing on Calvary my sin and disgrace. Such love constrains me to answer His call. And give Him my all. Living for Jesus wherever I and loss, deeming each trial a part of my cross. Living for Jesus through a little while, my dearest treasure, the light of his smile, seeking the lost ones, he died to redeem, bringing the weary to find rest in him. Oh, Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to thee, for thou in thine atonement didst give thyself for me. I own no other master, my heart shall be thy throne. My life I give henceforth to live, O Christ, for thee alone.
I'm looking again in Revelation chapter 11, verse number 5, concerning these two witnesses and the power that they had. It says here, if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. These have power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters to turn them to blood, and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. Now we go back into Luke chapter 9, and we see a couple of other men together. Their names were James and John. And in verse 54, we read there in that situation that they said, it says here, his disciples, James and John, when they saw this, and that is that Christ was being rejected, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did? But he, that is Jesus, turned and rebuked them and said, ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of, for the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. Well, that's in Luke chapter 9, verse 54. Now that we get into the tribulation period, it's not like it was then. It's different. Here we have two men once again, and here we read, if any man hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth, and they will be killed if anybody hurts these two men. Things are different. Not the meek and mild Jesus who came to die on the cross, but this time he comes as a lion of the tribe of Judah, and a lamb and a lion have a very different disposition. Well, we see these men are witnessing for the Lord during the tribulation period, and very interestingly, we read verse number 7, when they had finished. Now, they finished. They finished what they were here to do, and it says, when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascended out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them, and shall overcome them and kill them. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. Obviously, we're talking about Jerusalem here. Not a very good situation here. It's referred to like Sodom and Egypt. And that's the way the situation is today, Jerusalem. They're back in the land. God has blessed them in that aspect, that they are back in the land, and we have the nation of Israel after 2,000 years. However, they're not following the Lord. yet. They will. Verse number 9, it says, "And they of the people and the kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves." Now, here they lie on the road during the tribulation period, lay in the street for 3.5 days. Paul said back in Philippians 1:20 that Christ might be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. There's two men, they're just going to do whatever God wants them to do. They'll magnify the Lord in their life, they'll magnify the Lord in their death. And it says here that all the kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies laying in the street. Well, that was prophesied 2,000 years ago. How could all the nations see their dead bodies 2,000 years ago? They couldn't. But this is a prophecy of today. And today, whatever happens in the news, about 20 minutes later, at the very most, you're seeing about it all over the news, because all over the world, with the World Wide Web and with the news agencies that we have today, we can see what's going on. Well, we read in Revelation chapter 11 and verse 8, "And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified." The great city, that's referring to rank. No city in the world has had the blessings of God upon it as had this one. Then we see they are spiritually sick. They are referred to as Sodom, they are referred to as Egypt. In 2019, 10,000 to 15,000 people marched in Jerusalem in their annual gay parade. Spiritually sick, like Sodom, like Egypt, signifying rebellion against God, like Pharaoh in Egypt, who mocked Moses and refused to obey God. We see here that it mentions that it was where Christ was crucified. As we said, no city so great concerning rank being blessed of God, no city so wicked as to crucify the Son of God. We have a lot of wicked cities in the world today, but this is the one that crucified the Son of God. Well, the world reacts over these dead preachers of truth. We read in verse number 10, "And they that dwell in the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry, and shall send gifts one to another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwelt on the earth." Sometimes it seems like God's losing a war. Well, he's not. I've read the last chapter. He doesn't lose. It sometimes seems to Christ rejectors that Christ is losing, and sometimes it seems that way to those of us who are Christians. But if you understand the Word of God, once again, read the last chapter. Today's technology will allow the world to see these dead bodies laying in the street, but then something happens that the world also sees. We read in verse number 11, "And after 3 days and a half, the Spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood up. They stood upon their feet, and a great fear fell upon them which saw them. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, Come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them." Well, they were having a party a little while ago, but now great fear fell upon them. Well, once again, Philippians 1:20, "If Christ be magnified in my body," Paul said, "whether it be life or whether it be death." In verse number 13, we read, "The same hour was there a great earthquake, and the tenth part of the city fell in the earthquake. In the earthquake were slain of men 7,000, and the remnant were frightened and gave glory to the God of heaven." Now listen, nobody is going to change God's timetable. God has a plan. He plans the time in which events and schedules are going to take place. We read back in Revelation 9 and 15 about the four angels who were loosed, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year to slay a third part of men. God is working on a timetable. And here in verse number 13, we see there was a great earthquake, and it came when God wanted it to come. And they're coming today when God wants them to come too. If you look in the book of Revelation, you'll see several earthquakes. Revelation 6:12, when the sixth seal was opened, says, I beheld, and when he opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake. And then in Revelation 8:5, before the blowing of the trumpets, it says in verse 5, and the angels took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it under the earth, and there was voices and thunderings and lightnings and earthquake. Then in Revelation 11:13, the two witnesses were raised to life here, and there was a great earthquake the same hour. And in Revelation 11:19, as the vile judgments begin, we will read there, and the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament, and there was lightning and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail. And then the greatest earthquake ever on this world, Revelation 16:18-20, where it says, every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. Again, I want to read number 13, verse 13 in Revelation 11. The same hour there was a great earthquake, and the tenth part of the city fell, and in the earthquake were slain of men 7,000, and the remnant were frightened and gave glory to the God of heaven. Now that remnant is probably what it refers to back in Zechariah chapter 12, verses 10 through 14, where the remnant become converted. And this becomes the difference when we read back in Ezekiel 37, verse number 8, when those bones came together, and it says, but there was no breath in them. But then in verse 9, we see the breath came in them, and they did live. And so we see here when these bones came together, but there was no breath in them, that represents Israel as she is right now. But when the breath comes into them, that is when the remnant are converted and turned to Jesus Christ. In our next program, we're going to see the seventh trumpet sounds, and we'll see what happens there. However, in the meantime, let's be pressing on to higher ground when it comes to how things are going in our lives in a spiritual sense.
I'm pressing on the upward way. No heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to live above the world, though Satan's darts at me are hurled. My faith has caught the joyful sound, the song of saints on higher ground. To scale the utmost height and catch a gleam of glory bright, but still I'll pray till heaven I've found. Lord, lead me on to higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher